Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my CBC Corpus family, and friends who are tuning in. Welcome. Well, we began a look at the prophet spoken to the prophet Haggai last week and looked at the first 15 verses of chapter 1. Now we slide right into chapter 2. You'll notice it's a very short prophecy given. Essentially, we're given four oracles, and we're on the second one, oracles, the truth of God, that are revealed to God's people. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we hear from the Word of God, as we glean from the Word and learn from the Word of God, what God not only said to His people, but what God says to His people. He said something to them, but He is saying something to us believers. And that is exciting. That is encouraging. That is comforting. When we know that we serve a great and mighty God in the midst of whatever circumstances any generation finds themselves, we are comforted knowing that God is with us, that God speaks to us, that God still calls us and calls us to obedience and then enables us to carry out that work that He's called us to do. And this is all predicated on the ultimate work that He's already done. And that's the beauty of the prophecy that we're seeing in this particular part of the Bible and Haggai. So I'll turn your attention to chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 9 verses. So if you will take a copy of the Word of God, and also encourage you to have a journal, perhaps, and a journal, take notes. A good study Bible will help you. So these are just resources that I recommend that will help you in your Bible study and learning and growing in the Word of God. So let us read the Word of God together. In the 7th month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Blessed be the reading of the Word of God. Would you pray with me? Gracious God of all creation, the God who gives to a people a truth that transforms, thank you, Father, for the deliverance of we, your sinful people. Thank you for saving us and bringing us to yourself. Thank you for being with us and enabling us, Father, to be strong. Now I pray, Father, that you would help us as we begin to learn what you are saying to the church, what you are saying to each and every true follower of Jesus Christ in this text, that we would be encouraged. But more than that, Father, that we would once again be established in the truth, and that we would do what you have commanded us to do, that because of that obedience that we've been called to, Father, that fruit, the fruit of your ultimate work, the fruit, and Father, the work that flows out of our hands, Father, because of your great call, would produce, Father, results that'll just be to the glory of your name, that others would come to know you in a personal and powerful way. So speak to us today, and Father, thank you for reminding us that no matter what is destroyed in the natural, no matter what is ruined or seemingly defeated in our day, Father, ultimately, Father, you have provided greater glory. there is a greater glory, and we are going to hear about that today. Thank you for reminding us of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I turn your attention to the first few verses, again, we see a specific date given. As in the first message, here we have Haggai, the prophet of the Lord, being used of God to speak the word of the Lord to the people. So this word of God comes to the prophet. And that's a comforting thing. And that still happens today by the preaching, by the sound teaching of the word of God. And here we have about a month and a half into this work. Remember, the people had turned from their sin. They'd repented and they obeyed God and they went back to work rebuilding the temple that they were called to rebuild. And the issue there was obedience. So they were living in obedience, but of course, like everything, and because of our weakness, because of our propensity to wander, all of us are prone to wander, discouragement can set in. And so the second oracle, the second word comes, the second message comes to the people. And all of this is to help us see, again, and to remind us of what is going on ultimately. Remember, as Haggai, speaking the very words of God to the people, reminds them about them being liberated and delivered out of Egypt. We saw that in the text, and so that goes back, and here again, the people have been allowed to come back and rebuild. But they, again, were found in to be really selfish and caught up in their own ideas and their own plans and their own comforts. But now we hear the second message, and it's vital. It's vital. So really what we see here given to us is, again, a glimpse of the fact that even though this particular temple, this particular edifice would not be as glorious or majestic as Solomon's temple, that wasn't the point to begin with, that there would be something greater. And then there's a reference to the fact that God reminds the people through Haggai that all the gold, all the silver, everything belongs to God. Like, he knows all about it. He has a plan in all of this, and that's remarkable. So the first thing I want you to see, and this is the title of our message, is there is a greater glory. It's not just what you see here. It's not just what's going on. Yes, there's a lot of good happening. The gospel is going forth around the world. Even in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of all of the chaos that's going on in our world, the gospel is going forth. People are being saved by the grace of God. People are being settled into the word of God. This is good news, but there is a greater glory. We don't need to worry about trying to look for something here that's never going to be, because there's something greater, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want you to see also, as we consider heading towards understanding what this greater glory is all about, that in verse 3, we are given three questions that I want you to take note of. Three questions that are important. It was important for them. It is important for us now. Verse 3, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? Who is left among you? Like, is there anyone here who remembers the beauty and the majesty of the temple that Solomon built? Do you remember those good old days, so to speak? And sure enough, there was, because again, the temple had been destroyed, but then but within about 66 years. And so you would have had people that maybe were in their 70s, maybe even older, that would have remembered. And what's interesting about that fact is in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, we see it is revealed to us that there were those who were there in the former days. And so you had this interesting dichotomy of sorts going on here between those who remembered, and then they come to this place where they're rebuilding this temple, and it's not quickly they find out it's not going to be anything like what Solomon's was, and so they become discouraged. Now, you might understand that we would become discouraged, but look what the prophet, look what the word of God tells us in Ezra chapter 3. So turn to your Bibles in Ezra 3, beginning of verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, the one that we're talking about here in Haggai, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. Interesting. How you can have a group of people who have been around so long and remembered the temple that Solomon built and remembered all that went on. Now, we know it wasn't perfect. When you go and read about those eras, and certainly it was a majestic, certainly God had a plan in that temple being built by Solomon and all of the wealth and the gold and the silver that's referred even here in this text. Certainly it must have been quite a sight, but we know Solomon didn't always do what was right. We know Solomon had his own sins to deal with. And so it's never about what man does. It's never, whatever man does can't always last, but what God has done and what he's doing, it remains forever. And so we see that there are those who saw, witnessed those days. And that reminds me of how some of us can be. We can unfortunately focus, and we're prone to doing this, to focus on the good old days. Like, I remember when it was like this. We didn't see what we're seeing today. And maybe you're tempted to feel like that now, even now in the middle of all of this. Like, wow, I remember when we had nothing like this to worry about, and we could do this, we could do that. But the fact of the matter is, God is still sovereignly in control. He is still at work doing his great and mighty work, because his work is the ultimate work, not our work. And so we are going to be called to do something, but it's not because we are the ones doing it. It's because he has delivered us. He not only delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, but he's been saving us and delivering us from our sin and pointing us to the greater temple in Jesus Christ. And so all of this goes together, and I want you to not miss these important questions. They are important diagnostic questions for us as we consider how this text can teach us today, right now. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? And then the second question, how do you see it now? How do you see it now? In other words, what's your perspective? How are you seeing all of this, and what is that causing you to think? Are you processing this in a biblical way or in an emotional way? Are you thinking, you know, with a biblical mindset? Are you thinking on the things that are above? Are you setting your gaze on God? Are you trusting him in all of this? Or have we lost sight of what is important? Have we lost, just like in the first message, the people, they lost perspective of what was important and what was priority, the house of God, the church, the building, obedience. They lost sight. They began to obey their sinful desires. They began to do what they wanted to do and make sure that they were comforted and comfortable. But they neglected the church. They neglected the house of God. Well, here we kind of see the same thing. We lose perspective at times. And that's what makes that question very important. How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? That is an interesting way to put that. And also in the CSB, we read it translated this way: who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? And then, doesn't it seem to you like nothing in comparison? And so here we see again the sovereign God of the universe speaking through the prophet, saying, I know what's on your heart and mind. He is really giving us and revealing to us his omniscience. Omniscience, he is all-knowing. And he knows what we think. He knows how we process things. This is the God of all creation who is speaking to us, his people. And so as we consider these diagnostic questions, we must again ask ourselves, are we relying on the good old days? Are we simply focused on the good old days and saying, well, I guess it'll never be like that again? And we can become discouraged and overly discouraged to the point where it causes us to be stagnant in our faith and in our discipleship. And that's a word I throw out because that's important now, because I honestly believe that these oracles are meant to do that, just like every word of God is meant to move the believer to disciple, to teach and to train, to be taught, yes, to be matured in the faith and in the truth, yes, but to also do it, to share the gospel, to share the good news, that even though things are falling or seemingly being destroyed around you, one thing remains, and that is the faith and trust we have in our sovereign God, our sovereign Lord. And so as we look at what these questions remind us, they remind us that we need to really check and see what our perspective is. We need to understand that to have the right perspective is going to be critical in understanding God's plan and purpose for each and every one of us. He has called us to a great work. And we're going to find out that in this text, we are called to do that. So, now, after these questions are asked, now, don't miss the point that God the Father, through the prophet, is the one asking the questions. We are being asked by God himself through the word these diagnostic questions. And then verse 4, he just, again, as a loving, gracious Heavenly Father does, he says, "Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land," declares the Lord. And then he uses another word here. After he has said that three times, "be strong," he uses the word "work." Do you see it? "Work." For why? "For I am with you," declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant. The covenant is still in play. A commitment that God has made with his people on Mount Sinai. Remember Moses and the tablets coming down, the Ten Commandments, all of that really speak to God's heart and God's call to be in covenant relationship with him. And that's what's going on here. So verse 5, "According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst." My spirit remains in your midst. Now, after all of the discouragement, after all of the falling away, prone to wander and wandering off and doing their own thing and all of these things, and it just, they start well and then they kind of fizzle out. I mean, isn't that familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar to some of us? We've been there before. But here we hear God gives us some amazing word. He says, "Fear not." Wow. So I want to give you three things as we look at what this oracle, what this truth, what this message is saying to us even today. And the first one is this: be strong, my brother, my sister. Be strong. You may be discouraged. You may be down. You may be down. You may be wondering, why am I battling with my sin the way that I am? Why can't I just seem to get it all together? Why can't I be all that I believe I need to be for Christ? And you're almost beating yourself up about all of this, but the word of the Lord has come to Haggai, has come to you. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. There's scripture that gives us that. We find that in Joshua. In Joshua 1, 6, and 7, let's read those and be encouraged again. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Now, we already know that the people then couldn't have success on their own. We already know we can't succeed on our own. The success comes from our being in Christ, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the completed work of God, his delivering his people from the very beginning, and sending the one who would be the promised Messiah. And in Joshua 1:9, some of you have memorized this: "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isn't that comforting? Aren't you thankful for that truth, my brother, my sister? And Joshua 1:18, "Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." These are strong words. But the reality is that it is all God's work in us. And there he calls his people, the people that he's drawing to himself, the people that he is saving for himself, the church that he has been building since, that Jesus Christ would usher in the New Testament, so that we no longer would have to sacrifice at a particular temple, but now we would actually be living sacrifices, as the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans. And that our lives would be offered as living sacrifices to Christ, and that we would be the temple of the living God, Christ living in us. And so be strong, my brother, my sister. Secondly, work hard. Work hard. And thirdly, fear not. Fear not. Be strong. Work hard. Now, when I say work hard, I don't mean you can do anything to save yourself. I'm talking about work. Work out the calling, your God-given calling, whatever He's called you to do, what He's calling you to do, what He's preparing you to do, do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your heart. Serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with everything. Serve Him sacrificially. That will not come easy, because you will fight the temptation to do other things. You will fight the temptation to do what you desire in and of yourself. But there will be great reward and great comfort and peace and great empowerment and enablement when you obey and do what God has called you to do. So that we are not hearers only, but we are doers, as we read in James. So we do, we work hard, knowing that the ultimate work has already been accomplished. We are justified in Christ Jesus, but now we get to obediently, faithfully work to the glory of God. Amen? We can work to the glory of God at our jobs. We can work to the glory of God at church. We can work to the glory of God in our communities, in our neighborhood. We can work and work hard. That's what the people of God do. That is part of this process of rebuilding and restoring and obediently doing what God commands us to do. And if we love Jesus, He says we will do what He commands us to do. And so we are encouraged to be strong, to work hard, and finally, to fear not. Now, I know today, and I pray that every one of you who is listening or watching today, I pray you're doing well, but you may not be. You may be struggling, not only with possible illness, but you may be struggling with depression. You may be struggling with other things. You may be struggling with discouragement, and you're discouraged. Maybe you've served the Lord, and somehow you've just felt the weight of discouragement. But I'm here to encourage you and tell you that the word of the Lord is there to lift us up, to tell us and remind us that God is with us. That He is in the middle of it with us, because you belong to Him. He bought you. You were bought with a price. And you can rest even in your discouragement, even in your depression. You can fall into the hands of Jesus and call out His name, and He will carry you. Cast your cares upon Him, but fear not. Sometimes I think that's one of our biggest problems, brothers and sisters. And anyone at the sound of my voice, is fear. And sometimes that manifests in anger and frustration and whatever it is, whether it's political or whether it's whatever else. And all of a sudden you have a lot of this fear of what's going to happen now. But as a believer, we are not to fear. Not when we have been saved by the God of all creation. We don't have to fear the one who sent Jesus, His only Son, to die, so that we might be saved. And brothers and sisters, fear is a horrible thing. I know it's real. And I know we've all felt it before. But we can rest in the promises of God. That's what's going on here. These oracles are coming to the prophet, not just so that you can hear a word. That's part of it, and that's powerful. But it's so that you can understand that God is good to His promise. God is faithful to do what He said He's going to do. And you know, and I know, God has never failed. He is a faithful God. He is a trustworthy God. He is a good God. And you don't have to fear when you know you belong to Him and you live to the glory of His name. And so I encourage you to be strong today. This may be something you and I need to hear today and be reminded of in the middle of all of this. Be strong, because as believers, we're given everything. We are weak without Him. And apart from Christ, we can do nothing, but in Him, we have it all. In Christ, He is everything. He is our everything. We have all that we need. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, because He is sufficient. What He's telling us here, He's reminding His people. Because it's amazing how we in our weakness, we in our sin, we in our forgetfulness, we have to be reminded. Be strong. I know you're discouraged. I know you'd like to see things with your own eyes, but there's something greater. And that's one of the things that I want to hopefully encourage you and humbly drive the point home. Don't set your gaze on earthly things, on earthly temples, on trying to restore something here on earth. Set your gaze on a greater glory, on Christ forevermore. He is mine forevermore. He is the ultimate treasure. And even Solomon's temple pales in comparison. And we praise God for that. Brothers and sisters, God is a God who gives a word, a right on time word for all of us. And I thank God that now he is telling us in verse 4 again, be strong to Joshua. Be strong. By the way, you remember who the mantle was passed to when Moses was not to be headed into the promised land? Wasn't it Joshua? And look at this Joshua. That I don't know if there's any kind of connection there, but it's amazing how just the faithfulness of God's servants, God to be with them and to remind them that he is with them and telling them, urging them to be strong, and also telling us, all the people of the land, be strong, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Brothers and sisters, if you've been bought with a price, if you've been saved by grace and you are captured and rescued by the wonderful, powerful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have no reason to fear because he is with you through everything, through all of the ugly, all of the things that are going on. He is with you. And this is what God is promising here. He goes, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. This is the God who created everything and is sovereign. And not only that, he's omnipotent. He is all powerful. Remember when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and he was asleep and there was a storm and the disciples became frantic and they were fearing for their lives. And Jesus had the authority to calm the storm. It's that authority that only comes from God. It is that authority that calms the fear in our life. And that's why we, especially we believers, brothers and sisters, today, because we have been blessed to be living in these days, we don't have reason to fear. Because we know the strength and omnipotence of our God. And so there is a promise here that just like the mountain shook at Mount Sinai, God is promising. And I think one takeaway or one possibility as you're studying this, and I encourage you to do that, is to look at this somewhat prophetically. Not to overdo it and get all into these other things and that can seemingly plague the church, but to understand that ultimately, yes, God is sovereignly going to shake the heavens and the earth. We know this is going to happen. And it's going to happen his way, and it's going to happen in his time. We just need to be reminded to not fear and to work to spread the gospel, to disciple others, to grow in our faith, to be strong in the Lord. And that's what's going on here. This is powerful. And then we see in verse 7, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. God is saying, I'm over everything, all the kings and all the leaders and all the rulers of any time, of any age, and I will work it out to where resources and whatever it is, because why? Because the gold is mine, the silver is mine. It's all mine. And that's great comfort for us, brothers and sisters, as we consider even the days that we live in. And we can take comfort that God is still sovereignly in control. There's a great quote by A.W. Pink, and I titled this, and I put this in your references that you can find on our worship guide at cbccorpuschristi.com. What do we mean by this expression, the sovereignty of God? We mean the supremacy of God, the kingship of God, the godhood of God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that God is God. That's A.W. Pink from The Sovereignty of God. That is a powerful thing, and we need to take stock and trust in that, believe in that sovereignty of God, especially in the middle of these days. So brothers and sisters, as we continue, as we prepare to conclude today, I want to remind you, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Work hard. Work. Do what you're called to do. As God has gifted you and prepared you and enabled you, do what God is calling you to do, and do it with all your might. Do it to the glory of God. And lastly, fear not. Fear not. Pray and call out to the Father and say, Father, help me to fight this fear. Help me not to be afraid. What do we have to fear when He is near? What do we have to fear when He just said, I leave you my peace. I give you peace. Peace in the middle of the storm. Peace and strength and courage for your discouragement. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6, we read these words from the gospel writer. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Brothers and sisters, may we take stock. May we be reminded that there is a greater glory, that God is building His church, that we are the temple of the living God, and that when we find ourselves struggling in our sin, when we find ourselves discouraged, when we find ourselves becoming angry, when we find ourselves struggling and battling with depression or whatever may come, as faithful followers of Jesus, cry out to God and recognize that as your weakness, and then rest in the strength of your Savior. Rest in the strength of your Savior and be strong and courageous. Take courage in the Word of God. Take courage in prayer. Take courage in spending time with other brothers and sisters, encouraging one another, helping one another, especially through difficult times. Work hard and fear not. Do all this to the glory of God, and may God continue to give us His peace in the middle of this storm. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for giving us this truth and for reminding Your people that You have a work for us, and that the thing that can hurt us and get us off track as us being overwhelmed with discouragement, despondency, apathy. And Father, we are prone to these things because we are struggling and still fighting our sin. So Father, help us. And thank You for convicting us, for bringing this second message, not only to the people of that day, but to Your people today. We must be strong. We must work. And we must fear not. For You, God, have promised to give us peace and to enable us for the days ahead. And so, Father, help us to trust in You, in Your sovereignty, in Your purposes and plans, and not be taken off track by what we see in the world or in culture. Thank You, Father. Sanctify Your people through and through. And Father, may all be done to Your glory and Your glory alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.